This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, December 5th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal in New York. 2 decades ago, 2 Stanford students built a simple search algorithm out of a California garage. Now, Larry Page and Sergey Brin are stepping away, and Sundar Pichai is stepping up to lead Alphabet and Google into a new era. Rob Copeland will have more on the challenges he faces in just a minute. But first, let's check some headlines. Medical venture capital investment is reaching new heights in mountain states like Arizona, Colorado, and Montana. It's poised to reach $1 billion for the third straight year. Being located outside of California or the Northeast, of course, provides its own challenges, like a shortage of local investors to lead expansion stage investment rounds. But maturing health tech startups are using their remote locations to their advantage, relying on local universities, luring skilled workers with a lower cost of living than Silicon Valley, and, of course, they've got the natural attractions. The Nintendo Switch is finally coming to China. Next week, Tencent Holdings will start selling the console in one of the biggest video game markets in the world. It's the first time Tencent has thrown its weight behind a game hardware business. But analysts are still cautious. While the Switch has been successful in the U.S. and Japan, other consoles already being sold in China haven't gained the same popularity that they've got in other markets. And the Louisiana State football team is headed to the SEC Championship this weekend. What does that have to do with tech? They might owe part of their success to a new technology they've integrated into their weight training program. It's from a tech startup called Perch. They make a camera that you perch on top of a weight rack, and it tracks athletes' movements, uploading their data to the cloud in real time. Coaches say they can already see improvements. LSU is number 2 right now. We'll see if this is the edge they need to win the championship. In 1998, Larry Page and Sergey Brin were 2 Stanford students fiddling with a straightforward search engine in their garage in California. 20 years later, their creation, Google, has transformed into a multinational conglomerate that controls how most of the world interacts with the internet. This week, Page and Brin announced they're stepping down from active management of Alphabet, the parent company of Google. And they've announced that the current CEO of Google, Sundar Pichai, will take on their responsibilities in addition to his current role. Here to explain how that's going to affect Google and Pichai is reporter Rob Copeland. Did this announcement come as a surprise?
It's both a surprise and not a surprise. It's definitely a surprise that it happened this week. But over time, Larry and Sergey have been really stepping back as the public faces of the company. For instance, Alphabet does an annual investor day, and neither of them has shown up for years. In addition, Sundar, who's now the CEO of the parent company, was already the CEO of Google, which is probably the product that most people know most closely. So he's already had in his portfolio sort of Google's most high-profile products.
What kind of reasoning did they give for this decision?
Well, they said, first of all, that Google is a very different company from the one that they founded 21 years ago, and in that, no one could argue. Alphabet, which is the parent company, has a number of arms that are looking at creating self-driving cars, this internet via hot air balloons, these Google Brain initiatives to study artificial intelligence and how to extend life. So it's really not just a search engine that they founded out of their garage.
Well, I mean, that's very clear. What are they going to do now?
Well, they haven't said, and let's be clear, they also haven't said what they've been doing for the last few years. There's a huge grain of salt here, and that is that Larry and Sergey still have between them 51% of the vote over any decisions that are made at Alphabet or at Google. So to the extent that they want to involve themselves, they have veto-proof majority over everyone, including the ostensible CEO, Sundar. In addition, they still remain on the board, and they're going to be a part of every major decision going forward.
Tell us a little bit more about Sundar Pichai. Other big tech leaders, Tim Cook, Elon Musk, obviously also a founder, they really built themselves up to be these big public personas. Pichai really has been a very low-key figure so far. So what do we know about him, and what do we think that this new role for him is going to do for Alphabet and Alphabet's future?
Well, Sundar has one of the most incredible Only in America stories. He grew up in India, very poor. He moved to America. He wound up with an MBA from Wharton, and now he's unquestionably one of the most important executives, not just in Silicon Valley, but probably in American business. You're right, he's very different from Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, some of the more well-known executives here. He's extremely soft-spoken. He speaks publicly only rarely, and when he does, he is visibly uncomfortable doing so. He almost never strays from his prepared remarks. I'm thinking actually at their annual investor day, there was a question and answer session, and Sundar actually, by my recollection, didn't speak at all. He deferred the answers to some of his subordinates that were on stage. So far as Google and Alphabet go, as CEO of Google, as from a business perspective, things are going pretty well. I mean, they continue to make more money. The stock is up, I think, 25% this year, which is a good clip, though a little short of the NASDAQ. His bigger issue is these cultural problems at Google. Google has historically allowed its workforce a lot of autonomy, a lot of time spent during the day debating issues, politics, culture, and that's bubbled over in the past year. And in the past few weeks, even Sundar has changed a number of policies that are really about getting the company more focused on its business, period, first.
It sounds like he's got some internal things that he's got to be dealing with, but he's also got a lot of external issues to tackle. I mean, Google, as one of the most powerful tech giants around, has been at the center of a lot of these anti-competitive cases, a lot of investigations, both here and abroad. How do you think Sundar Pichai is going to be tackling these bigger issues?
Well, it's a big open question, right? Because as CEO of Google, with Larry and Sergey ostensibly ahead of him, he was able to avoid a lot of these big congressional testimonies. A lot of the senators and representatives who have been looking for tech executives to grill have invited people above him, and frankly, those executives haven't shown up. So Sundar is going to have to be that face regularly. You're going to see him testify. And as you mentioned, even more so than Facebook and Amazon, Google is in the hot seat right now from a regulatory perspective. You've got a federal Department of Justice antitrust investigation. You have almost every state's attorney general is accusing them of potentially anti-competitive behavior. And it's very much an open question how that's going to go.
I want to ask you one question about a story that's also been in the news this week. Several companies, so not just regulators, but companies have accused Google of giving its own content preferential treatment in search results. And the latest company to point the finger is Genius Media Group, which has filed a suit against Google on Tuesday. What can you tell us about that? Can you tell us anything about that?
Sure. This is a lyrics website. So they essentially post the lyrics to public songs and you can view them on the internet. Now, an evergreen complaint about Google has been that it takes other people's content and it puts it on its own platform. So that if you search on Google, instead of sending you to Genius, they'll post Genius's content right there on Google. And that's exactly what Genius accuses them of doing. They set this really fascinating trap, did Genius. They put some invisible watermarks in some of their lyrics, and then they waited for those same watermarks to show up on Google.com, sort of proving that Google had been lifting the Genius content. So they did sue this week. That's pretty unusual. You know, people complain a lot, but they don't generally actually file the suit. Google hasn't responded to the suit, but they did previously say, for instance, a number of things, including you can't have a copyright claim to someone else's song lyrics.
So Sundar Pichai has some internal things to deal with. He's got governments to deal with. He's got companies suing Google. Is this the best job you never want?
Oh, they haven't released his new pay, but he was making about $25 million a year before, and I don't think he's getting a pay cut. So yes, it's a lot of responsibility, but there's a lot of reward here too. Based on the stock options he's gotten in the past and what he has now, he's got right around $1 billion. So this is still pretty incredible. I mean, he goes from growing up in poverty to being a billionaire and in control of one of the most powerful companies in the world. Yes, it's tough, but that's what the money's for.
Rob Copeland, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.